like most of our gospel readings, this one has so much we can unpack and explore. But like the repeated ones, the ones we know really, really, really well, we can get our focus stuck on only one small piece of the message and miss so much more. So here we are, the Sunday after Easter, and we get what we get every year: Doubting Thomas. Yep, the rest of the scriptures rotate around the lectionary calendar over 3 years, but John 20, 19 through 31 remains the same. Not just once, every 3 years. Every year. So we think we know the story by now, don't we? Jesus has risen and Thomas isn't buying it. Seeing is believing. So Jesus appears and calls upon Thomas to touch him. Thomas realizes Jesus really has been resurrected and believes. Jesus makes the point that it's more true to believe when we haven't seen than when we have. Story over. Put a wrap on this one. Move on to next week. But hold on here. Because this morning I'd like to focus on not Thomas, but the other disciples. Today's scripture starts a little later on, Easter evening. The resurrection just happened. This day. Mere hours have passed. Jesus reveals himself and breathes the Holy Spirit on his disciples. That had to have been an amazingly powerful moment, wouldn't it be? I mean, if the Holy Spirit were breathed on us right here, right now, wouldn't we feel stronger and more compelled to answer the Spirit's call? And Jesus made it pretty clear what the expectations were of the disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven. He's basically told them that they need to do two basic things. Love themselves and each other, and forgive others. That's it. It wasn't very complicated. Surely the disciples would rise up and start the process of serving the way they were asked, love and forgive. But things didn't quite happen that way. Thomas wasn't there when all of this happened. He shows up 8 days later. 8 days. Having not been part of that powerful moment. But what does Thomas find when he gets there? The disciples all huddled up, locked in the same room, cowering from the outside world. They haven't budged an inch on love and forgiveness despite the message they were given. Oh, they were more than happy to tell Thomas what he missed. I can hear it now. Man, Thomas, you should have been there. It was incredible. Jesus entered the room with the power-filled rock music and the choir of angels floating around him. He spoke to us, his chosen crew. That's us. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, it was amazing. I'm telling you, the world is a different place right now. Things will never be the same again. But now, picture Thomas. Oh, he hears all this. But what evidence does he have that anything is any different than it was before? His pals, the other disciples, are still cowering from the outside world. They haven't changed what they were doing one iota. So why should Thomas think anything is different today than when he left? Then Jesus appears again. He lets Thomas touch him and experience him. Thomas responds with an immediate acknowledgement of my Lord and my God, which is more than we can say for the other disciples. But Jesus makes it clear that they're all missing the point. Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe. Because faith is important to God. Our faith gets tested. Every day our faith gets tested. And it's what we do with those tests that let God know if we have spiritually matured enough to be ready to enter the kingdom or not. Which leads me to the thought I've carried with me this week as I've mulled over and prayed about this week's scripture. How are we doing with our faith? How are we doing with our faith? And how are we letting others know its importance? There's a natural tendency for us to hope we're getting it right. I go to church every Sunday. When someone asks for help, I'm there to give them a hand. I like posts on social media that talk about the power of our Lord. And maybe I listen to some terrific Southern gospel or contemporary Christian music to fill my soul. But look at Jesus' words again. This time, with Christ's critical eye on us. Mark 16, 14 and 15 says, "Finally he appeared to the 11 while they were eating. Jesus criticized their unbelief and stubbornness because they didn't believe those who saw him after he was raised up. He said to them, 'Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to every creature.'" What are we doing with this? Are we locking ourselves up in this space? Just like the disciples? Opening ourselves up to Jesus' criticism? What hope do we have of others believing we are different people for our salvation experience if we're hiding it within these walls? Look, I get it. I'm not blind. Today's culture has made it harder and harder to feel comfortable in expressing our faith to others in public. The same people who get together, with family and have a nice meal over Easter, turn around and hide their faith all week long. But aren't we called to honor Easter? To show our thanks for the most massive gift to the world of eternal life by serving others and sharing the good news with them? Are we trying to protect our own reputation by not inviting someone to come to church for fear of sounding too religious? That fear puts us in a place no better than the disciples locked up in their room. But are we really in the same position that they were? The disciples feared for their lives, that public confession of following Christ might mean jail or even death on a cross. Even today, there are stories of people who face this type of fear. There's the murder of Morel Knoll in Paris, who at 85 years old survived the Holocaust, only to have her life taken simply because she was Jewish. Last week, 4 Christians were killed in Pakistan by ISIS forces. These situations are clear reasons why someone might be afraid for the public to know their faith. Even here in the United States, there are understandable situations where people fear others about knowing who they are. At the time of Christ's crucifixion, Jews were required to register and be tracked by the Roman government. Does this sound familiar today? Does the acronym ICE mean anything to you? The fear of being sent back to a country where you are certain to be killed is a real reason to not want others to know what you believe. So what's our excuse? What has us so afraid that we won't take the simple step of suggesting to a family member or a friend or a colleague that if they stop by here on a Sunday morning, they just might find a source of peace they can't find anywhere else? Do we need to hear Jesus' words again? Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to every creature. How much more direct can the message get? To the best of my knowledge, none of us face the threat of jail or loss of life by simply introducing someone to the good news of the gospel. And God requires it of us. Maybe this is like mass shootings. One happens, and we mourn. Even actively speak out for change. But the news fades, and so does our activity. Until the next shooting. Then we talk about it again. Do we need to do this? Do we need Jesus' instructions to go out and share the good news again and again and again to talk about it? We have that small, simple assignment as Christians. Go out and share the good news. Love others as we love ourselves and forgive as we have been forgiven. So what choice are you going to make this afternoon? Or tomorrow? Or this week? Are you going to stay locked up in a room hiding with the disciples? Or are you going to do as Jesus told us and help others find the amazing gift we have been given, not to hoard it for ourselves, but to share with everyone we meet? I believe that as Christians, faithful Christians, there really is only one choice that we have. I'll be stepping outside this room today and will invite as many as possible into faithful worship and service in Jesus' name. Anyone else care to join me?